Blog Talk Radio.
No.
Then he came back. Now Chuck went through.
Chuck came back, and I quote, he said, Victoria is definitely a secret. They can't wear no Victoria's Secrets down there. End quote.
Did he say this on the air?
He said this on air. He said all this on air. So, after all the hoorah of him saying this, he came back Sunday night on the show. So, I guess he said it sometime over the weekend. Sunday night, he said on the show, and I quote, he said, if you don't like me or the show, turn it off. If y'all are waiting on me to apologize, hell gonna freeze over. End quote.
Okay. That's the first statement I agree with. I agree with that. I agree with what he said. He's free to say whatever he wants to say.
I think the only line he crossed was saying, if you don't like me or the show. So then he's what it sounds like to me is he's speaking for everybody on the panel.
Well, he said or, though.
Don't even mention the show. You say, if you don't like me, don't watch. Leave it at that.
I ain't watching for you. What if I ain't watching for you? I just don't want to hear what you got to say.
Oh?
I don't like the way you said what you just said. That mean I can't watch the show because you talk stupid?
That's your choice.
Exactly. Yeah, to watch. That's what he's telling me.
Not to watch the show. Regardless, my only thing is if I'm on the panel with him, don't say the show because then you're involving me. I didn't make that comment.
Okay, so if you're on the panel with him, do you want him to tone down his comments?
No. Be Charles. Just don't involve me.
Make sure you separate the fact that you are a part of the show, but this is you.
This is your individual myth.
I feel that.
Charles.
I feel that.
That's my only thing. I have no problem.
I have
no quarrel with Charles speaking his mind. But
statements he made.
Can't be a little sensitive, Chuck. But that ain't Chuck.
That's not Chuck.
No, he ain't not a sensitive bone in his body.
I mean, he said there's some big old women down there.
Wow.
I mean, we're not laughing because we're agreed.
Right.
We're laughing that he had that to adapt to say
it. That's what his eyes see. I mean, you can't say he's wrong for saying what he sees.
And then he didn't individualize it.
Think about how long he's been picked at by his weight.
Okay.
And they do pick at him, even on the show.
Okay.
His co-host.
Yeah.
So why he can't turn around and pick at somebody? Now we got to shut him up.
Like, yeah, that's true.
I do agree if you don't like what you hear, you don't like what you see. You have a choice. You flip the channel, or you can take it. But you can't change what Charles Barkley say.
No, you can't change his opinion and outlook.
That's impossible.
And the truth of the matter is, his dynamic to the show is the reason a lot of people watch.
I was just going
to
say that. A large number of the people that even watch the show probably watch it.
Because of him.
Because of Charles.
Yeah. What he's going to do.
What he might say or what he might do.
I was tripping out when I read it. I was like, wow. And then when he was like, he wasn't going to apologize, I was like, well, and I think it might go to the fact that what you were saying, T, that basically he get picked at all the time, so how can, because, you know, usually the broadcaster make them apologize or make them say something.
Right. I don't think Charles Barkley would apologize if he wasn't fat. If he never got picked at for being overweight, whatever, I still don't think he would apologize because that's who he is. I'm going to speak my mind, and I'm not apologizing for what I say.
Yeah, because it was, what, in the 90s when he said he's not a role model. He took on that campaign, you know what I mean? So Charles Barkley is who Charles Barkley is.
That's it.
Unapologetic.
Yeah.
And you just got to take it or leave it alone.
That's it.
I think we respect him for that. Even if we don't agree with everything he says, you respect the person for being able to go out on what they say and say. Yeah. Well, Baka, we wish you the best for that, man. We wish you the best for that, but it was interesting. It was interesting enough to make our end note. Second topic. Topic everybody I know been talking about, so I had to make the end note. It really doesn't do much for me, but because since it's a hot topic, I throw it in there. Solange, attack, jigger. Solange knows. Kicks, punches, claws, Jay-Z in elevator at the Met Gala after party. She yelled at designer Rachel Roy, and Beyonce had to step in and gain control of the situation. This was during the night. Reports say Solange was irate and inebriated, so I'm thinking she was drunk. She could have been on something else. I don't know for sure. It's all speculation. But it says, pretty much, she was showing her behind. Now, there's been a lot of reports, a lot of things came out on it. Do you think, my issue with it was, it almost seemed as a personal issue.
Well, you know, I saw the reason that they said it happened is because he insisted on going to
Rihanna.
Right.
After party.
My thing is this. If Beyonce ain't kicking and punching and screaming and yelling, why the hell are you kicking?
Screaming.
Yeah, no.
You know, not to cut y'all to, but they say reports is when she said that to him, he said, you wanted to talk. So I don't know necessarily what that meant, but I guess he was pointing back at her, how you going to tell me not to go out? You know what I'm saying? Because if you think about it, she was their third wheel. The wife was okay with him going to Rihanna. It wasn't none of her business.
No, at all. Okay, the thing is, they didn't think this would get out.
What, see the cameras right. In the elevator? Exactly. Yeah, they didn't think that this
would become public knowledge.
This happens all the time. Everybody, it happens. I mean, the same thing that happens for us happens for them. Just because they got money don't mean life changed.
I mean, she waited till she got on the elevator.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I mean, if she was that upset, she could have easily did it out.
So that tells me she felt comfortable in what she was doing.
And that leads me to Beyonce's reaction.
Which was nothing. So she felt comfortable.
She just, like,
what she was doing.
For me, I didn't know any of the comments that were made until y'all just said it.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I was like, what could he have done or said to make her have that reaction? I mean, she was, like you said, swinging and kicking. And
she spit on, from what I saw, it looked like she spit at him.
I can believe that.
The head jerks, it looked to me as if she may have spit at him.
What? He couldn't have just said, you would want to talk. He had to say a little bit.
He had to call him something.
He had to say a little bit more
right.
for that reaction.
Right. And it had to hit something. Yeah.
So what, though? What could he say to justify that?
Something that hit a nerve. Something he know that it's probably personal enough to inflict enough pain for her to come back.
And for Beyonce to be like, oh, that was probably a low blow. So anything you get after that, I ain't got no involvement in that.
I don't know. I feel uncomfortable with her just standing there doing nothing.
Me too.
I feel like you're going to go on your husband's side or you're going to go on your sister's side. But don't just stand there and do nothing.
I did see you take that.
Did she step in?
Solange got pretty close to him at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And the kicks and the punches got a little wild. And she did kind of try to avoid getting hit herself and push her back a little bit.
Okay.
I don't call that stepping in.
It's stepping in, yeah. Because it shouldn't have went that far. If she was going to step in.
Because before that, she did nothing. And after that, she did nothing. So really, to me, all she was just really trying to avoid any kind of kicks or punches or anything. That's crazy to me.
Now, she tweeted afterwards, and it was a tweet. Tweeted afterwards, and the tweet was something to the reference of God protect those that are around me that don't mean me no good. A lot of people are portraying it to be towards Solange.
It could be
towards her husband. You don't know. It's open to interpretation. Solange also removed all the posts or all her pictures of Beyonce on her Instagram, except one. So I don't know if it's an internal. There's so much you can read into it. Somebody just took the pictures down because she wanted to.
Right.
It might not even have nothing to do with it. The same thing for Beyonce tweet, but because you seen that, now we all in their lives.
In a place we ain't got no business.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, if that happened amongst us, and it never goes viral, but it gets out, we will all feel like, that wasn't none of your business to tell.
No. And that's still the truth.
Yeah, it's still the truth. And it's still the truth for them. You know what I mean? Which is, the one thing I do take from it is, though, whatever she was doing, whatever, if she did spit at Jay or whatever, dude was calm.
He was.
He handled himself.
Kind of like he knew that camera was up there.
Yeah, you almost...
Or he was used to her reaction.
Exactly.
Now, I did get some background on Solange, and it said, like, Solange, a free-spirit single mother who bounces back between Brooklyn and New Orleans, has a history of odd behavior.
So she's a bad girl.
So you remember, Solange got pregnant and they married Solange off, and then the dude just disappeared. Yeah. So I think Solange kind of go against the grain. She got a video out where she got some wild hair. The song kind of jamming, though, but she seemed like a more earthy, kind of rebellious type.
My question is this. Jay-Z, does he lose respect or gain respect?
I don't think it affects his respect level either way, me personally, because the way he handled himself. In the little brief window that we were allowed into that elevator, the way he handled the situation in the elevator, I don't think it really affects him either way. But it just makes me question.
What kind of relationship?
Yeah,
all
of them have, really. You know what I'm saying? They portrayed the perfect image.
But we know about it.
True.
Now, I just got some information saying that I'm not sure who Twitter page, but one of the Twitter pages, as long as it's Beyonce, it was rumored that Jay-Z put his hands on Beyonce.
Mm-hmm. I can see that causing that type of reaction.
Right.
And then Beyonce not doing
right, and not doing nothing. I can see that.
That makes sense.
Then he would be combed.
Right,
because
he's
right.
Yeah, exactly.
But then that speculation, I guess, unless it's like has been verified or whatever. And then my question is why is it ain't none of our business.
Right. And
it
that's
really ain't.
And that's the thing, but
because it's all out there.
Because they're celebrities,
too.
Basically, they're celebrities.
Yeah. What's it? That's that accountability once you get to that position. But like you said, they was in an elevator. Who would have thought that would ever got out? And there's a lot of investigation going on to try to figure out how they got to take
that. That's what I'm interested in. I'm interested to see where that goes, the investigation of figuring out who leaked that video. That's property of...
Wherever that gala
is. Right, wherever that gala is at. That's our property. That's against the law for them to
leak that.
To leak that.
Yeah.
You probably never find out who did that.
Well, they'll find out and cover it up because they want to keep whatever the guy was held at, the company want to brush it under the rug.
Yeah.
Right now they win because the story get more popular, get more press than the fact that it was leaked.
Right.
So we'll see how that turned out. I thought it was like the personal side of it was what really bothered me, because I was like, that's really their personal lives, you know, and now we all in it, but that didn't turn me away from trying to figure out what was going on.
But that's the cost of fame, too.
Yeah.
You have no more personal.
Yeah. That's true. That's really true. Next topic, Michael Sam.
Oh, man.
Drafted in the 7th round by the St. Louis Rams. First openly gay player to be drafted into the NFL. Upon receiving the news via phone, which conveniently was being televised in the 7th round of the NFL draft, Sam planted a kiss on his boyfriend. My issue with this is not Sam's kissing the dude, not him being drafted. My issue is, when have we ever watched the NFL draft and seeing someone being drafted in the 7th round televised?
See, the dynamic that goes along with it, though, like, they was going to watch him throughout the whole draft. If he didn't get drafted, we want to interview to see how you feel about not getting drafted. Do you feel like it was because of you coming out? All of that was going to happen anyway. So those camera crews were probably there all 3 days of the
draft. Yeah, just waiting.
If he got picked in the 1st round, 2nd round, 3rd round, whatever round, you would have seen the same thing.
I hate to say it, but that story almost overshadowed the draft itself.
No, almost.
Yeah. I mean, outside of like true fans that really wanted to see who went where, mm-hmm. and all that kind of, outside of that, to the novice, was bigger than the draft itself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like you said, them cabin crews was probably there the whole time.
And it was 3 days later. The first round had already, the first pick, all that. We haven't heard nothing by Jadeveon Clowney. Clowney, right? We haven't heard nothing about him since he was picked and it was over with.
Mm-hmm.
After he was picked, the big thing was, when is Johnny Football going?
Yeah.
We watched that the rest of the draft. Then, this happened with Sam, and now that's all you hear about the draft. He's picked in the seventh round, which I believe St. Louis or some NFL team was almost put in a position where they had to pick him up.
Listen, my thing is, I understand the historical aspect of it. It's never happened before. I don't get why it's such a big deal.
That's what I want to say. I want to say that. I want to pose this question, right? Kind of crazy, but I just want to see what y'all reaction is. Let's say it's still the NFL, right? Let's say it's the first woman
mm-hmm.
to ever be drafted in the NFL.
Okay.
This woman just happens to be lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And when she's drafted, she kisses her lesbian lover on TV. Would we make a bigger deal out of her kissing her lesbian lover or her being the first female?
Well, I mean, you can't compare gay and lesbian anyway. Lesbian is accepted. Gay ain't.
I mean, gay. Not to sound insensitive, but gay is gay.
You can see lesbian acts on TV all day long and won't bite our eyelashes.
I agree.
But the moment you see two men holding hands or something like that, it's like, whoa, it's on TV?
Yeah.
That's true. So I don't think the kissing her lover part would have even been, it would have been like, oh, yeah, they kissed. But the hoopla would have been, we got a lady in the NFL.
Exactly. That's why
you posed the question.
That's why I posed the question. You know, I was like, it seems to have become that them kissing on national television has become a bigger deal than him being gay going in the NFL.
Yeah, nobody even cares that he was drafted.
I mean,
everybody cares the fact that how can you kiss another man on TV?
On TV.
Well,
to your point, you have this televised in the seventh round. You're irrelevant.
Yeah, that's true.
It's hard to say it that way, but in the seventh round, man, you're irrelevant. The most that should have happened is the question, okay, do you think your stock dropped because of you coming out?
Right.
That's the most that should happen. We don't need no camera there to watch him get picked in the seventh round.
You could have talked about it like they did everybody else. Yeah.
He was a story. I mean, okay, from what I see, all right, he had a good college career, but he had subpar, if not straight up bad, combine. No, I mean, that should have affected his draft status. I mean, but I honestly feel like him being openly gay probably affected his draft status more so than his bad showing in the combine.
What team would want to take that risk of what that's going to do to the morale of my team, knowing that there's
the baggage that comes into your locker room.
Yeah.
When you take that on.
But see, the statement was made by him being drafted. It shows the NFL is open to it. But he's drafted in the seventh round, which means St. Louis can cut him and it's no big deal.
That's the whole point. He ain't really, he has to make the team.
Yeah. I mean, the seventh round.
I think he'll make the team. They can't let this story go now. Ever since he came out, it's been an ongoing big thing. Every time his name come up, it's on TV for days. So now if you cut him,
that's the first thing he's going to holler.
Exactly. Yeah. Discrimination.
Yeah.
So even if you just put him on the roster, they're not going to cut him. I don't see him
cutting. If he doesn't fit my team, I kind of feel you maybe. I can't cut him. So then you take in the power of me as an owner, me as an organization. Now you're saying I have to keep him.
That's why nobody else took that risk.
Now you're saying I have to keep him, despite that he's just straight up don't make my team. So now I have to put him on my team or open myself up for litigation as far as discrimination.
Yeah, that's the can that's open. Like, I'm pretty sure general managers and owners discuss this. and they discussed it like we're talking about it right now. Like, even if he's a subpar player, and we take him with one of our picks and decide later that we're going to cut him, you know we're going to be looked at as being discriminatory against gay players.
Even though they drafted him in the first place, you still think they'll be open to that?
Absolutely. We're still talking about it right now. If St. Louis cut him, it's going to come up. Whether that has anything to do with it or not, it's going to surface in your mind. They cut him because of something else. That might have had something to do with it.
Just like I said, I think they pretty much picked him up to make a statement, but I don't think they really want him as a player.
I doubt that. I mean, I'm going to say it this way. If he had not come out, I think he would have been drafted higher.
It was in the second round. I think he was really a first-round prospect in the beginning. Yeah. Not the combine probably hurt him, like you say, Bone. But I think he would have went way higher in the second round. Yeah. The dude was all right. He really was all right in Missouri.
I want to see what he's going to say. That's it.
Me,
I'm
not
going to see what you're doing in the league.
He can play, man. I say let him play.
I don't need your camera following
forget.
You and
yeah.
all that.
You will honestly forget about all the rest of that if he goes and plays on Sunday.
He's not the first gay NFL player.
He's just open.
He's just the first one to openly go in.
To go in openly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Others came out after they got
him.
Yeah. In that aspect, I guess he the pioneer, that's a sense of bravery, I guess it would take for him to come out like that.
But on the flip side, think about what it does for the league.
Pandora's box.
That's what it is. I mean, you hate to say it that way, but you got to call it what it is. You just opened the can that you probably didn't want to open.
Well, like you said, I mean, he's not the first gay NFL player. So if anything, he may make someone else reconsider going in the closet.
Yeah.
You know, they may be more inclined to just come out, depending on his success.
Right.
Depending on his success.
Right. Being successful, it'll definitely be a good thing.
Right.
And even if he's not, though, even though it opened up a Pandora's box, it also opens up the NFL to be more open to players, period. Because, like you said, if he play on Sunday and he's good, who cares what he do when he go home? As long as it ain't affecting nobody in a bad way, that's in the, around him or the organization.
If his organization accepts him, and then his team, separately. Because
it's two different things.
Front office can accept you, but you're not accepted in the locker.
Yeah.
If both of them accept him and he goes out and does what he has to do, I just hope his name... Only time I hear his name is because he had 15 titles.
Right, right.
I don't hear his name no more because he's gay and all. So what?
Okay.
You got gay lawyers. You got to get these gay doctors. You got gay politicians.
You got gay owners.
You got gay everything. Why is he special?
Okay. Outside of what he can potentially do on the field, us all being former athletes, all being in that locker room environment, how is that going to be affected? I almost want to call it the openness of a locker room.
It's a locker room.
It's a locker room. You know, how
it causes issues to the dynamic
on both sides.
Yeah.
Listen, man, the locker room has people running around slapping booties.
Yeah.
You know, and anything, it ain't like, it's playful.
Right.
Especially if you win.
Right.
It gets even worse. Now, you take that away. We don't play
that's
like
what
that.
I'm saying. That dynamic is like,
kill,
it's like, whoa.
No.
Be serious about business. Hurry up, do what you got to do.
Okay, and let's go.
But it's closed-minded, too.
That is.
That's what I'm saying. Because if it works, if it does work, if the locker room is able to adjust, the fact that he's there, then you show that it's able to be done.
Right.
This is what heterosexual men need to understand. And I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm saying it. Just because a man is gay, don't mean he's attracted to you.
Yeah, that's true.
That don't mean he wants you. That don't mean he's looking at you. That don't mean none of that. He's just gay.
That's true.
What if it was a woman in the locker room? I don't mean she wants you just because she's in the locker room. You got to change what you do. Until she make you uncomfortable.
And they are too, because I think the broadcast, not the broadcast, the anchor women or the analysts,
yeah,
they go in there. Sometimes, I mean, of course they have clothes on, but I'm just saying that dynamic.
Yeah, but the dudes though. They ain't got, I mean, you in the
locker room. Yeah.
Basically, what you're saying is they don't change the dynamic of the locker room just because it's a female
analyst. Right.
You want to come in here into our environment.
Exactly.
This is what you get.
So why should he be treated any differently?
I'm not saying that. That's not where I was trying to go. What I'm trying to say is because if you come into this environment, this is what you're going to get. How is that going to
affect the environment?
How would that affect you? I'm trying to figure out how it would affect me, to be honest with you. I don't even know how I would approach that. Because I would want the sanctity of the locker room to stay because that builds camaraderie, which is represented on the field. How is that going to do? Okay, not how. Do you think it's going to affect the locker room in that aspect?
If anything, I think it'll be going overboard to make him comfortable doing the extra. You know what I mean? Like,
or uncomfortable.
Yeah, or yeah, could be that too. But how do you make him uncomfortable?
Shut him out.
Shut him out.
Exclude him from being a part of that environment in the locker room.
Do you think his college team was even good?
I don't know. As far as I know, he came out before he went in the NFL. I don't know if he was already out in college.
That's a good question, though.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's used to, I know for a fact, he's used to being in the locker room and being gay. We ain't had nobody surface and say he made a pass at me, he's looking at me this kind of way, he did this, he did. Nobody surfaced and said anything. So he knows how to handle himself in the locker room as a gay man. Why can't you handle yourself in the locker room as a straight man? And we come play football and go on about our business.
You know, we had... You know, going off of our experience, we had people that would just come to the locker room early. Come early, get dressed, get out. By the time we all got in there, they already
was
done. So, I mean, if maybe that's how he handled it through college. Speculation. Anyway.
I'm sorry. I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
He needs a teammate like Kerry Brown.
Go make him.
Yes.
Regardless.
Hey, get in where you fit in. And everything will be all right.
Well, Michael Sam's, Sam.
Wish you luck, man.
We wish you the best, you know.
I would accept me personally.
Yeah,
man,
me too. Wish you luck. I really do. Next topic. Jameis Winston. Five. Wants FSU to have somebody around his son.
24-7.
Mm-hmm. He feels as if the university let Jameson down, and he also said that the family also need to step it up too, but the university needs to put something in place so Jameson is watched, and I guess you can control what he's going to do.
No. Can I please jump in?
Yeah,
because I
want to
jump in.
Go ahead.
I want to
jump in fast on this one, boy. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Put Robert
mm-hmm.
at Florida State. Knowing you raised Robert, how you felt Robert should have been raised.
Right.
Robert goes to Florida State, ask Pope. Do you tell Florida State they need to watch him 24/7? You need to put somebody around him because he need to be watched? Y'all letting him down?
No, not me. Not me personally. You know what I tell
I'm
first?
I'm asking
day.
You personally.
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell first.
What you tell him?
You sit his ass back up. Because he ain't going to be up there embarrassing me. That's what I'm going to tell first.
I ain't going to tell first. Say that. He just going to come home and fight your shit. Get home. Right now.
Your response and your response is the same as my response. So what that tells me about what his father said?
Is why he's doing.
Is why James is going
He didn't. His father should not have directed anything to FSU.
He shouldn't even be in the news.
He shouldn't even be talking
to talk to his son.
He needs to talk to his son and the rest of his family.
Yeah.
you need to straighten the hell up, and we need to be more hands-on or more supportive or whatever you want to call it to make sure we keep him in line. Because obviously he can't think straight on his own.
And the dad know that because he's saying that.
But Florida State dropped the ball.
I'm in the only reason I'm talking to the news and the press and all of them explaining why Demi's not playing football this year. That's the only thing I got to talk to y'all about.
And then I'm going to tell you, it ain't none of your business.
The family matter.
Boom, that's it. He know I ain't.
Why is the Heisman Trophy winner the national champion quarterback? My business.
That's it. So his last name ain't Seminole.
Thank you.
The disconnect.
Fake.
The disconnect comes in the fact that he has to call out Florida State on his own son, right?
That says a lot.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to have some, and you a Florida State fan.
Yeah.
But we're going to have some people who disagree with that, just on the simple fact that
they Florida State fan. Let's be honest.
I ain't going to go that way.
Let's be honest.
You want to see your kid do well. And you want to give him the best opportunity and all this stuff. But not at somebody else's expense.
No.
Not at somebody else's expense, man. You have a free. You are the best quarterback in the nation.
Why you can't just be satisfied with that?
Common sense has to play a part somewhere.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, it has to play a part somewhere.
And you know, I've said before. I don't know if I ever said it on it. You know, living in Tallahassee, them boys, they got it made. They don't really have to want for anything.
I'm just this dude just feels like he can do the extra. They are.
It's sad to say.
They're allowed to,
but it's like a hierarchy. The city basically gives them those passes. It doesn't matter. You can't help but feel like you rule the world if the world giving you every goddamn thing you want.
Well, if that's what you get, why are you getting in trouble? I don't get it. I just hope the man get it together.
Yeah, man. Listen, Winston.
You can come out in the
joint. Heisman Trophy winner of 2014 or 13? 13-14. Listen, you have the ceiling in front of and above you. Reach it. Do your thing, man. Just sit back, relax, and do your thing. Everything else will take care of itself. You the same man I seen on national TV pray before you won a championship. Reach back into that, y'all. Just reach back into that. You'll be all right. And that's all the words of wisdom I can give you. Now, the dad, on the other hand,
sit down somewhere, man. Sit down.
Sit yourself down.
Please.
Just have you a couple seats.
If you're going to speak to your son.
Stay away from the media.
For real. Wrap it up, I end the note for this week, man. I was trying to find something because I usually like to finish it off with something good. So this was pretty much, it wasn't too much popping positive, which is pretty much the topic where our show going to go. So I figured I'd throw this out there. The greatest entertainer of all time, mm-hmm. the king of pop,
mm-hmm.
Michael Jackson, released his second, I guess, post-mortem album on Tuesday, Escape. What are y'all more thoughts on these post-mortem albums?
As a fan, I'm thankful that there's new music. I hear is it the whole album is new music or?
Yeah, so it's supposed to be Justin Timberlake, I think, helped produce it.
Right.
So it's supposed to be, I really didn't check the album out. I just know it's called Escape.
As a fan, I look forward to hearing new music from the King of Pop, but I'm a fan of Biggie.
Right.
Looking up at, you know, your Brooklyn State of Mind posted at that, and I felt that album Diddy didn't put out. They was trying to do too much.
Kind of flirty.
I understand that, you know, it was a dedication album, but I they could have did without that one.
Right.
You know, so I don't really know what to expect from this one. I hope it's more him.
Right.
Than yeah, other people, yeah. You know, taking verses from songs and adding up.
Right.
That's sloppy to me. Don't even do that.
I mean,
to a person's legacy.
Anybody who has made an impact in their life is going to be worth more dead than alive. So I get it. But at the same time, I kind of feel, before I say this, I want to know who put the album out. I heard you say who was involved in that, but who actually gave the okay to put this album out?
I don't know specifics on it, but I do know it had to come from either the state, the okay, because it's in state control, whatever. So whoever's in charge of his estate, and at one time, I don't think nobody in his family was in charge of his estate. I think it was his lawyer or something was in charge. I don't know now. I know his mom was fighting to try to get it. So I don't know.
I'm with you. I would like to hear it to see what it sounds like, but at the end of the day, I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. That's a toss-up.
I know, and that's how I feel. I feel some kind of way about these post-mortem albums because I think it, sometimes you might be disrespecting the person if you're not doing it in a tasteful manner and you're just doing it on a business standpoint.
Right.
Which you say they're more profitable now. So that's more of a business look at it.
You never know how he would have done. Right.
And that's why you shouldn't probably mess with it.
Exactly.
If you ever seen This Is It, he was like perfectionist,
hands on,
yeah.
on everything,
to the point where he told you, and played it, and did the beat by his mouth that he wanted to heal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I feel you. With Mike, more than any other, the rest of them, because I honestly see him at work, I think you should leave his stuff alone.
Yeah.
And he got enough.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, the man was 5 when he started singing, and he was 50 when he died. That's 45 years of music.
I'm sure he got bulk full of music that was unreleased
stuff.
Yeah. But
which is why it's probably gonna keep coming out.
And I feel like that diminishes or tarnishes an icon, legend. I mean,
you don't get hits,
right? Damn. Just leave it alone.
If he didn't release it,
just leave it alone.
Why would you release it?
There was something left to do, or he didn't want it out. One of the two. Well, that sums up the end of note for the day.
But,
go ahead.
Hold on. You said the name of the album is what?
Escape. I don't know.
From what?
I don't know.
Now, you realize that the one he died doing was called This Is It.
Right.
After This Is It, now we got Escape.
Escape.
No.
Too early to go there. So we're moving into the day's show. Today's topic today's title of the show is it that serious? We kind of touched on something last week when we wanted to touch on, the reality shows and the impact of them. So we wanted to bring it back, and we wanted to run it back to see how serious is these reality shows and how serious are these negative and versus positive portrayals we see nowadays. So our first topic is positive versus negative portrayal. And then moving in that, I mean, it's a lot of avenues you can go in. It's things you see positive versus negative on TV, on the internet, in your own life, in your house, outside the house, in your family. Just period. What would be your outlook on positive versus negative portrayal?
You want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
I probably don't have as much to say. Positive versus negative portrayal. First of all, I know we said several times that, we're surrounded by negativity.
Right.
Okay. We have to keep it fair, we're also surrounded by positive. All right. We're on, Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that. And it's pretty much, it's almost like the news nowadays. You see it a lot more negative than you see positive.
Yeah.
All right. Almost to the point to where if someone makes a positive statement, there's almost instantly a negative spin off
of that, whether it's a comment or whatever, whatever you have, you know, it sparks other comments and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So before I'm going to let you go, I'll be ready, I'm going to let you go. It's a constant battle between positive and negative all day long. It's a constant battle. And I'm going to leave it at that because I'm going to have some more to say. But I'm going to leave it at that. And I'm going to let you go ahead.
Go ahead, T.
Quite frankly, here we go. You're loosened up. I feel like this. Everything you hear, everything you read, everything you see doesn't make sense until you interpret it. What I'm saying, I think negative, positive, all of that is left up to the person who's interpreting what they're witnessing. I could say something and you hear something totally different than what I said. So now I said what I said from a positive note, but you heard it, and now it's negative. How does that happen? We cannot control how people interpret what we say, do, think, write, none of that. We can't interpret that. What we can do is know when we put something out, where we're putting it out from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I say it with a negative connotation, if I say it with negative intent, then it's only right for you to see it as negative.
Right.
Now you challenge that. But if I say something from a positive place, or if I say something, or we read something, or we're talking about portrayals, nobody can make you be something you don't want to be.
No.
So regardless of how a script is written, or how a show is produced, or how whatever, I can put my own spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it as negative and try to make it positive, or I can see it as positive and try to make it negative. It's all up to interpretation. Man.
Yeah.
That's just long story short.
And with that, when you bring interpretation into it, which is an individual thing, just because I'm saying something from a negative standpoint for myself, don't mean inside you ain't negative. So what you read may be positive, but because you see negative, that's how you spin a positive statement.
Yeah. So the negativity is within you.
Right. It's not in the statement. It's not in the statement. Because individually, you know where you came from when you made the statement.
Exactly.
And if it was positive and you see negative coming in, it means you done resonated something in that person. The individual that's reading it, or whoever takes it negative and wasn't meant negative, then you did.
Struck a chord, basically.
Yeah, you struck a chord. You've accomplished your mission. Because to say something positive and it causes a reaction means it resonated positive in a negative structure.
Yeah.
Because positive, see positive. Even if it has negative underlies to it, you can find a positive in anything if you positive. But if you negative, you're dead. You are dead. A negative mindset is a dead mindset. And everything around you is going to be dead if you see negative. But once you're positive, what's negative becomes positive. It's simple. A positive versus a negative. A positive is energy. A negative is dead energy. If you put a positive to a negative, it makes it positive. If you put a negative to a positive, it's still positive.
That's a good point right there.
Positives don't change. Negative will stay by itself, but it has to be two negatives. Once positive comes, it's positive.
Oh no, you kind of, I ain't gonna lie to you, you kind of confused me right there, because I heard what you said,
yeah.
But I'm trying to put the negatives and positives together, and I missed the whole point of what you're saying. That's me, and I can be me.
That's it.
At the end of the day, I was finna say something. About to say something. I didn't mean to say Fanta, but I'm gonna say Fanta.
You say Fanta.
I was gonna say something. I forgot what it was. I'm gonna talk about court.
Right.
Because I know court.
Right.
Okay. I talk a lot about society and the stuff that I don't like about society. We're going into TV shows.
Right.
I say it all the time. Like, I don't like the way we are portrayed. Now, granted, we take part in it.
Mm-hmm.
Black actors take part in it. But I feel like it comes from a source that maybe we ain't aware of. You know what I'm saying? Like, it comes from... At the end of the day, it could be looked at as positive. And my approach to it may come off as negative. But it's not that I'm negative about it. It's that I recognize it. So now let's see how we can counteract that.
Right.
How can I use the thing that you're trying to give me to destroy me? How can I use it to turn around and make you see it ain't what you thought it was?
Right.
That takes a lot of self-searching. That takes a lot of, you know what I mean?
Oh boy, say that one more time.
Yeah. Self-searching.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes that. I do that all the time. Sometimes I don't get what I come up with because I'm, what I say, simple, complex.
Yeah, complex.
That's what I am. And it is what it is, but at the end of the day, it's like what another person says is not what defines me.
Exactly.
You're just talking from your perspective.
And I'm fine with that. Because
hey, you're free to do that. That's what we do every Sunday, Wednesday, and sometimes Friday.
And sometimes, yeah.
And every other day that we open our mouth to speak, we speak from our perspective. That's cool. But just because you have a perspective don't mean that it's right.
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 And to your point, if you bring your perspective to me, and if I'm open enough to take in your perspective,
mm-hmm.
give me the same courtesy when I give you mine. Don't
exactly.
just shut mine down.
Exactly.
Because if not, you're not reciprocating to me what I'm giving you. Now this is unequal. Now we got a negative, and no positive gonna go into.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm losing. But I'm open to you. You gotta be open to me. It's just. It plays itself out basically like, this is why I say the negative thing with the positive. It plays itself out like, if I'm coming to you and you know me personally, and you don't know me, but you can see it's genuine, 9 times out of 10, what I'm telling you, I really believe. Now, it might not be the right thing, but if you're able to see I'm genuine, you should be able enough to understand, okay, he may don't get me, or he may don't understand where I'm coming from. But I'm going to respect the fact that he was genuine enough to even say it to me. So I'm going to open up to what I may not want to hear and see what I can learn from.
Or, I shouldn't say or. And you can take the opportunity to let them know what you saw and really what I was
saying. Right.
I get where you're coming from. And I respect that. But this is what I was saying. This is where I was going. Now, at that point, if you don't want to, if you're still stuck on, okay, but it's like this.
Okay.
Nothing I could do for you.
Right. You got that then. All right.
You won that. That's just your perspective and you free to have it.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what we do all the time.
Yeah.
And as on the mic, off the mic, that's what we do as individuals when we interact with each other. We don't agree on everything. And sometimes you give me insight on things that I see totally different. That in that moment, I see my way. But once you say something to me, if I'm open to take it in, yeah, I'm going to leave that with something else.
And I think that's the benefit.
Same
of
thing for both.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The same thing for both. I got a question for y'all boys. I took this just to throw this out here with this negative and positive versus negative portrayal. Dr. Cliff Huxtable
mm-hmm.
versus Fred Sample. Both unpopular, great shows. But you see the dynamic there. Where you see negative versus positive?
Where do I see negative versus positive?
Right. Like, if you ideally wanted to be a person, we take all out of the cat. We in the character, not so much the man right. outside of the show.
Right.
Fred Sampson and Dr. Cliff Huxtable. Mm-hmm. Which one would you most likely want to pattern yourself behind?
Tough question. And it shouldn't be, but it is tough because we're formulated to believe that Cliff Huxtable is not reality.
Right.
Brad Sanford is reality.
Right.
Right.
That's just how things go.
And see, that's the point. See, that's why the negative versus positive portrayals.
Right.
And that's why it's the point, and that's why I throw that question out.
But it's difficult because can we really say that Fred Sanford is negative? He just has a different approach. It's not so much he's trying to do harm to somebody. It ain't that. It's just different. You know what I'm saying? Like, he'll throw you out. Yeah, he'll throw you out.
Right.
When you come right back again, he let you back in. Like, if you come right this time, you can sit down. I'll fix you some ripple.
Right, right.
But if you come back the same way I threw you out last time, guess what? You got to go again.
The difference for me in the dynamic is I think Cliff is positive at all times. I've never seen him call nobody out of their name.
Right.
I've seen him handle his children in a positive way, his wife, his father.
I get where
you go. You know what I'm saying? With Fred, Fred would call you out your name.
Mm-hmm.
Fred would downgrade you. Fred was an old, angry man.
Yeah.
And that was the character.
Right.
But because, you, like you pointed out, see, that's more relatable to the portrayal that we believe we are closer to, you almost would take Fred over a doctor that lives off in New York in a brownstone. That's black.
I think it was more so, I'd say probably more so delivery. I personally say they're probably both positive to me.
Yeah,
right.
They're both positive to me. But it's more, if anything made Fred Sanford negative, it's his delivery.
It's to the point.
It's straight, to the point. There's no sugarcoating. It's just, you know, you're a big dummy because you don't think what you're supposed to.
You don't think what I think.
So I'm going to call you what everybody else.
But now we're contradicting what we just said.
We are. And talking about it, we are.
But
And that's the dynamic of it. And it was crazy when it came to me. That's why I brought it up, because I knew it would do this. But for me, Fred is negative. I can't see him say Fred positive. I might have thought Fred was positive. Fred is negative. If somebody came to my house and I continued to tell you, you big dumb, you can leave and talk to my best friend, which was
your boy.
Grady. The way he did, Grady bought a woman over Fred, said, where you get this monster from? All that kind of stuff. You wouldn't be around me. You would think I'm negative. So Fred was negative, but it was okay because it was funny.
And I'm going to use this place perfectly in my mind to one of the examples that Cliff Huxtable
right
gave to, I think it was Denise, when she brought Martin home, told him she was married, whatever the case may be. He told her, he gave it to her like this. He was like, if I went outside and I fired up the grill and I put a steak on the grill,
mm-hmm.
I cooked you a big juicy steak. I brought it to you on a plate and you had, you know, decorations and all that on a nice plate and I put a napkin and a fork on you, you would think I did something, right?
Mm-hmm.
You would appreciate that. You would receive that. If I took that same steak, prepared it the same way and threw it on a garbage can lid and gave it to you, what would you do?
Yeah.
It's the same meat, cooked the same way. It's just in the presentation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess, I am kind of contradicting myself by saying I see Fred as positive, but I don't think I changed my opinion totally.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. But you should also display openness right now.
Yeah.
You're showing that you're open enough to accept that. Because I can have this conversation with someone else, and they might just be totally afraid it's not for friends.
Right.
And they ain't trying to hear what I'm saying.
Do you think it's realistic to be Cliff Huxtable?
Yes. Definitely. Absolutely. Absolutely. I ain't finna go with that. But absolutely, yes, I believe that.
And I'm going off topic just a little bit. Because I use him as, I say if there's any marriage that I would want to pattern my own after, it would be that.
Yeah.
You've seen them have disagreements.
Yeah.
You've seen them, hey, I don't like what you're doing here. But it was never no yelling, cursing,
right,
fussing.
Right,
and this,
right.
That,
right.
It was never none of that.
We
just going to handle this. Listen, at the end of the day, I was wrong. Or at the end of the day, you was wrong. I hope we learned something from this. Now let's go to bed.
Yeah. And you've seen it. And it was a beautiful display, and we always talk about this. Like, we were so young that I don't think we really got the whole understanding of what we were seeing
right
until we lost it. Because now you got this reality TV, and what we're seeing now, which we'll move into in a minute. But I don't know, fellas. Just for me, I went into that because of the negative portrayals, and I was like, man, I got to say my boy Fred is negative, and I don't really want to. You know what I'm saying?
That's hard.
Now, don't get me wrong. I ain't going to stop watching it. No.
At the end of the day, I guess if we take that golden rule, we was taught this golden rule from 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. Treat everybody like you want to be treated.
Right? Yeah.
If we could do that, then I guess we wouldn't have to talk about negative and positive. But then if we could do that, then there would be nothing to combat.
Positive.
Right.
Yeah, so we would take it for granted.
And the thing, too, is controversy is engaging for some reason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because even with Fred, it was because it was controversial that it was engaging. The Cosby Show, like I said, we'd seen it, understood it, and didn't even take in what we really was getting until we got old enough to understand what it was really about.
Yeah, it was just entertaining.
Yeah.
Funny.
It was almost a fairy tale. You know what I mean? It was, you were seeing something that we didn't see around us, but we felt like at some point, or if people do live like that, we can live like
it. I wasn't going to go ahead, but I'm going to go ahead. I posted something on Facebook the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I posted it because it was a thought that I had. I was just sitting there thinking, like, how can I always think of ways to make life better.
Right.
And I knew that we had had the show talking about the negative effects of reality TV and this, that, and third. Like, I guess I was just in my thoughts. So I posted what I posted. And I posted it from a place, if we, the same thing we're talking about right now, like, if we were to focus our attention on positivity deliberately, negativity is going to exist. You can't get rid of it. That doesn't mean that I have to engage. I may be strong enough to engage. I may be wise enough to engage. I may understand what I'm engaging in before I engage. But why fight a battle that you don't got to fight? Whether we realize it or not, regardless of how strong you are, negativity will have an impact.
Yes.
It will have some sort of impact on your life. So if it's not to show a contradiction to the negativity, why would I engage in that at all? That was where I was coming from with the post. And I think it was kind of misinterpreted, maybe, or misunderstood, or maybe felt like I was calling somebody. I don't know nothing about nobody other than what you tell me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it wasn't that. I don't know. I just feel like this negativity, positivity, the positive-negative thing, it's underlying and it's not talked about and it's not discussed, but I think it has a bigger impact and it's more significant than we realize.
Yeah, and I think it's that simply because people don't know how to damn deal with it.
Yeah.
And like you said, it takes effort. It takes effort. It takes effort to be in a negative situation and put forth that the concentration and will that it would take to find the positive within that negative situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I remember your post, and I was basically agreeing with you, but it just came out a little different. So I don't want to say exactly how I feel. All right. I agree with you. Negativity is always around us. Negativity is going to affect us. Now, that is on us, how we allow negativity to affect us. It's going to affect us. But how that negativity affects you is all on me. I'm gonna speak for me.
Right.
Okay. I can go into a negative situation and know it's negative, or I can try to avoid it and I get sucked into it because that happens too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But my outcome is all dependent on me. Okay. Whether I find that jewel, as we call them, that it may just be a statement that answers a question that I may have posed to myself months ago, you know, within that confrontation. It may not resolve the issue at hand, but it may resolve an issue in me,
right,
that I've been having for a while. So, I mean, we have to, as people, strengthen ourselves, first of all, realize that it's there. The conflict is there.
Yeah.
Okay. You got to first realize that. You got to first realize you're in a war before you can participate in it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Once you realize that it's there, you have to strengthen yourself. You have to put forth a lot of effort. I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying? I'm on radio, but it ain't easy for you, boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I still struggle every day. You know what I'm saying? I still have issues that I deal with at work, at home, in the street. You know what I mean? But how I allow that to affect me as a person, that's all depending on me. Mm-hmm. I can let it pull me down and pull me in and get the bickering and all that. I can easily do that. Or I can focus myself, listen to what this other person is saying,
mm-hmm.
take it in. I may not say a word, but if I can find the positive within it, then my mission is accomplished.
Yes, and that's the whole point. And to your post, I say this. When I read it, because I understood where you was going with it, I didn't let the negative control me. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. My mindset was okay, and I was privy to the fact that I caught the post after it was coming on and seeing everybody else intake, so I was able to digest what they was coming back with and see negative within other posts also. And that's when I noticed, okay, he probably didn't put this out in that manner because I read your reply. He didn't put it out in a manner for it to be negative. He put it out in a manner for it to be well for somebody to pick it up. But because it resonated in someone who wasn't positive, let negative control them, as Bone said, and they got sucked into the negative. So a post that was honestly came from a positive place, as I was reading down to it, it went into a negative conversation. So when I replied back, I wanted to reply back to that, not only for myself, but for everyone else that have partaken in it and for whoever may see it, that at the end of the day, we're accountable for ourselves. What you put up, that was what you felt.
Yeah.
You okay with that? I'm okay with that. Because personally, I'm fine with Derek. And whatever I feel, I'm fine with that.
That's why when you read the post, you didn't feel no kind of way about it because Derek ain't living.
No. And I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to call anybody out and say they was negative.
No. I get where you're going.
I'm just saying that's the dynamic of positive and negative.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? And with that, the post, if it was read in the manner from a positive place, like Bone said, he came back, he understood you. He pointed out in his post that he get it, but he's strengthening himself to be able to understand your post, basically.
Basically.
That's what he said. That's exactly what he said. Now I'm realizing that. I didn't realize it then, read it. But he was saying, I'm at a place now where I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. But I'm strengthening myself to a place where if this was to be taken negative, I'm not going. I'm going to find the positive in it. And it goes back to the negative and the positive. If you bring positive to negative, it's going to be positive. But if you come in and let negative trap you into it, which it could be a positive situation, and you come in negative, now you're trying to knock out the positive.
Which there was no negative intent whatsoever.
No.
Now, I don't know why I keep losing focus today, but I just lost it again.
That's Buddy. He don't want you to get it out, but it's going to come out. It's going to come out because we're going to keep
it. It is. The underlying point of the post wasn't even about negativity and positivity from my mind.
I know that. I know that totally.
The underlying tone, the underlying point of the message was, like BJ said, we're in a war.
Right.
And recognizing that and then realizing that every second of every month of every day is important.
Yes.
I can't afford to let my guard down.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could slip in this moment and it take me 2 years to recover from this slip.
Mm-hmm.
That was the underlying post. I just couldn't come out and say it just like that because it'd be like, where are you coming from? Where the hell is
that? Right.
No, it's just, you know, at all times be mindful that you are fighting. No, you're not fighting. There is a war going on that you're involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a side that don't want to see you succeed. And at all times they focused on you not succeeding. Could be unbeknownst to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now I slip over here just because I feel like, you know, it ain't that big of a deal. I can, you know, I can handle this.
Yeah. Then you're trapped.
I'm trapped. And then I realized that it took me 2 years to go all the way back to that one moment. Had I not even entertained that, I wouldn't have went through this.
Exactly. Exactly. And when thinking back on it and realizing the post was, for me, now when I personally read, I thought, and this was my taking of it, it was to cause awareness. And that was it. Now, sometimes when you cause awareness, if you point out awareness in someone that they might not want to entertain or engage in within themselves, they become defensive. And in defensiveness, then you, whenever defensiveness is a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
But it's put in place to guard yourself against something that you feel attacking. So if you become defensive about something I'm saying to you, it means it's something that's an issue within you. It ain't got nothing to do with me.
There you go.
It ain't got nothing to do with me. I just said something. I wasn't even talking to you. How am I talking? I don't even know how many friends you got. You probably got about 500 or 600 friends.
No, I ain't got that many.
Or 200 or 300, whatever. Yeah. Them many friends you got, you weren't individually talking to all them people,
no.
Pointing at each one of y'all, I'm telling y'all this. No, it was to cause awareness.
Yeah.
And like I said to you, the thing with it was, when you said you to in the post, they felt you were talking to them. I went back, I read it, and I said, I would not sit in the tunnel and expect not to get hot. And I said, I wouldn't, I think
jump
it
was in the water
and get wet. So how do I expect to watch negative and not take negative from it? And for me, I said, it defies all my understanding of my truth.
Yeah.
Now, if it had been stated that way, if somebody would have came back at you, now it was a personal direct. It was a personal attack on you.
Because you said I.
Nobody would attack you that way. When you said you, they felt like you were talking to me. Even though I know for a fact you weren't talking to 200 and some people, individually.
No.
But that's how negative works its way in the positive. Your intentions were totally positive. But because it ruffled some feathers and it went somewhere, you seen the backlash. What I say to you is, you did what you were supposed to. Because it resonated in some people so much so that they had to comment on the internet to it. If it was me and it bothered me, I wouldn't have said nothing. I would have went back and seen what Derek needed to be doing to get what Corey was talking about, right? I'm not going to put my business out there because as soon as I put my business out there, I'm saying personally to everybody that's on Facebook, I'm saying to them, I don't agree with it. And why don't you?
Okay, I'm gonna throw this in there as a public service announcement. Okay,
PSA. Here we go.
This is the PSA when it comes to activity on Facebook or anything that's familiar, that's similar to Facebook. It is a public site.
Yes.
Okay, it's like a public street.
Yes.
Okay. If you go out in the street and show your ass.
Yes.
You left yourself open for interpretation.
Yeah.
Okay. What people, the mistake that people make sometimes, I'm not saying that you made this mistake.
No, go ahead. I'm
not saying that you made this mistake. This is the PSA.
That's right.
I just thought about this. You put your business on one of these social networks, you are opening yourself up for people to interpret what you're saying or the images that you're putting on there to whatever the hell they want to interpret it as.
Yeah.
So you can't get mad. I swear I'm not talking to you. You can't get mad when somebody takes something that you said and twists it around. Can't get mad about that. You can't say, oh, I stopped by the store and hollered at my homeboys today. Okay? If somebody say, well, what you doing up there? You selling dope?
Mm-hmm.
Why you had to stop by the store to holler at somebody? You ain't go to the store to buy something?
Mm-hmm.
And they comment on that. You can't get mad and attack them back because you put your business out there. So they interpret that however they want to interpret that.
Okay. So in response to that, this is what I will say. For the poster,
mm-hmm.
if you know what you said and where you said it from and how you meant it, and yet someone else interprets that totally different than what you said, you have the option to A,
Charles Barker,
correct that and let them know that ain't what I was talking about,
mm-hmm.
or B, recognize the negativity
mm-hmm.
and leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
Because I know what I said.
Exactly.
As the commenter, you have the option to A, see that this person is making, as you say, an ass of themselves, and let them do that.
Yeah.
I don't have to comment on that. I don't have to say a word. That does not affect in me.
Mm-hmm.
I can say nothing. I saw it and I didn't see it. Keep moving. Or B, say what you feel and then accept what you get in return.
Exactly.
There you go.
We all have choices.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
There you
That's
go.
Where I'm going. Everybody got a choice.
Because just like as the poster, once I put it out there, I got to be open to however you come back at me. But I'm okay with that because this is how I feel. You need to be okay with when you come back to me how I feel.
Right.
Not just how you feel.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because what's the difference? It has to be an open. It just does. I can't see things one way. If I see things one way and I don't see it the way you do, then I shouldn't say nothing.
You're negative from the jump.
Yeah, I shouldn't say nothing. I shouldn't say nothing at all. And don't get me wrong, I see a lot of things on Facebook that I don't agree with. But you don't see me comment on them either. And I do want to.
Yeah.
But I know this ain't for me to get in. What good would it do for me to get in there? Besides, I'm going to show to the Facebook Nation how disagreements happen.
Right.
Leave it alone. If not, if you got something to say that may correct it and you can do it in the right manner, then do that. If it's somebody you care about and you close enough to them and you see them doing something like you say, on the street showing their ass, and I care about you, I'm going to come get you out of that shit because I care enough about you. But I'm going to handle it in a manner where I might not even talk to you directly on that post.
Yeah. That's just what you did.
There you go. There you go.
That's what you did. I get it.
You see what I'm saying? And that's how sometimes, because it ain't about that. It ain't about Facebook. You know what I'm saying? For me.
Right.
It's more of an understanding of, I don't want you to make the same mistake, and I don't want you to allow me to make the same mistake. So for me, it ain't about publicizing it to them, because who cares about them? I'm not saying that I don't care, but I guess I am saying I don't care.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Because at the end of the day, if I see positive, then it's positive, positive. I'm not fighting and tangling with that. I know who's going to win when positive is there. So it ain't for me to get in. Just like you stepped away from your post.
Yeah.
You stepped away from it, and that was the right thing to do. You had done what you had to do. You had done exactly what you needed to do.
I came back and I explained, after I saw that it was being misinterpreted, I explained what I meant. No, I mean this. Okay, well, here's an example. Okay, well, what about this? And it was coming back again. I'm like, at that point, okay, you just feel however you want to feel. I've explained how I felt and we're just going to leave it at that. But bigger than that post and bigger than any post, it's the impact. It's what Facebook is.
Yeah.
And not only Facebook, it's TV,
mm-hmm.
it's radio, it's any social outlet. It's the impact that it has. Because, like I said last week, the world is not connected. somebody raised in another city 2,000 miles from here who think totally different from me,
right,
can post and say something that hits a spot.
Right.
Or they could say what I think they saying,
mm-hmm,
and be saying something totally
different.
And now here I am going at it.
Right.
In my opinion, I just feel like we have to get back to, I have to get back to just not entertaining.
That's it. That's it. Whatever you say, if it comes from your truth, and I totally believe truth is divine, and it's totally through your understanding, through your spirituality, whatever being that may be. For me, that's God. If that's your truth, when you say it, you shouldn't have to worry about what nobody else says. And if they come at you, just sit back, and like we always say, he will make you laugh at the things that used to make you cry. In that post, it strengthened you more than it may have strengthened someone else.
Right. Somebody got some out of that.
Yeah, somebody got some out of it. Somebody
did. Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Somebody else did too.
Somebody else did too.
Somebody else did too. Because even the replies back to it was a transition going on in all the replies. Because a lot of replies were agreeing with what you said. They just was coming back from a point where they was trying to exempt themselves in a manner, I should say. You know what I'm saying? They were saying, well, I can't totally debate or go against what you're saying. I shouldn't say debate because it was a word debate. But I can't totally go against what you're saying, but I'm going to exempt what I'm doing from you to clear myself up.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is, I mean, this is it, dog. There's no more to it besides the fact that when we go to the gates and we have to speak on our own behalf,
that's
mama,
it.
Daddy, grandma, can't nobody talk for you. Your actions and what you've done here is going to speak for themselves.
That's it.
So if you got on there and said, the sky red and the devil is my father, that's what you want to believe. You have to deal with that. I don't. Am I going to reply back? No. I'm going to do just like I did yesterday. I'm going to hit you on your old cell phone and say, hey, dog.
What you doing?
Where we at here? Where we at? You know what I'm saying? But it ain't for me to go on a personal standpoint, because in that moment, that's your personal feeling. And I think everybody should be entitled to that. That's why I think Facebook is good, because there's a lot get out that we would never see. You just have to be open to everything you see. Don't go into it with a negative mind. And you ain't going to agree with everything, but you'll get some out of it. If it ain't nothing but to learn that this person I thought was a certain way is a damn fool.
And I mean, it's crazy. You find, I don't know how we got stuck on Facebook, but you find out a lot about people.
Mm-hmm.
From things that are said and things unsaid.
Unsaid.
Mm-hmm.
More unsaid to me. And I tell you that because that, for our blog page, it doesn't get a lot of feedback, but I know it's being seen. So the unsaid is what haunts me more than what is said.
Right. Because you want to know it.
You want to know.
You're reading it,
yeah.
So why you ain't saying
right. It? Right. Exactly.
But maybe it's just simply, I read it, it resonated, I digested, and I'm good. You obviously good because you wrote it.
Right, right.
So why do I have to come back and say anything like, and even if you did get negative feedback from something you wrote, would it matter?
Not to me.
Exactly.
Not to me at all.
The positive probably won't either that much either. It's just affirmation, but you don't feel how you feel about what you wrote anyway. So,
it's that
feedback is what it is. All right, we kind of got lost in Facebook when we're talking about that, but we want to transition on over to this.
Oh boy, here you go,
loving hip hop.
Here you go,
and I'm not gonna be the one to start this one.
I'm going to
let somebody else take the reins on this.
I thought that. Bone helped me out a little bit. Man, I'm doing a little research today. T, you did too a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
First topic, Love & Hip Hop is a show. For those that don't know, I'm pretty sure everybody probably know, but those that don't know, it's a reality show that's set around hip-hop artists and their significant others. Some of them wives, some of them. No, I don't think nobody married them.
Yeah.
One is married. Kurt and
Jocelyn.
Yeah.
Jocelyn is married.
Jocelyn is married now, and Kurt and Rashida.
Stevie.
Yeah. So there's a show.
You can't cut Stevie back to the strip club, Stevie.
This is a show. Oh, no, we're going to be married here. It's a show pretty much following their lives and what they got going on. Now, from the standpoint of, we'll start with Bone, if it's okay with you, I'll start with Stevie and Jocelyn, since you pointed them out. And with Stevie and Jocelyn, they're a couple. Stevie is a big-time producer, Stevie J. He produced for Diddy back in the day for Bad Boy. He did a lot of other stuff, but he's a big-time producer. And he's in a relationship with Jocelyn, who's an up-and-coming artist that I think, if I'm not mistaken, he met in a strip club. So she was a former stripper, and now they're in a relationship, and they're supposedly married from following the show, but nobody has seen any credentials yet. But they're saying they're married. I don't know if you caught this, Bone, but she said they was married July 29th, which she couldn't figure out the day at first.
Right.
Then he told Benzino they was married June 29th when they was at his house.
I missed that.
Yeah, I caught it. I ain't see it the first time. I seen it the second time. So I was like, well, that's a debate also. My thing was, they got this big house. It's really a mansion in Atlanta. Stevie and Josh. And the portrayal that I take from it, he calls it the White House. And I don't know why it made me feel a certain kind of way. And it's not because of the color. It was because of the reference to it being making it. And then the portrayal they giving off to people that's watching. Like, if I make it, if I get a White House, this is how I act.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That kind of bothered me. You know what I mean? I don't know how you felt about it, Bone.
I mean, we made a comment that, and you know, and watching an episode that he was, you could just see the, you could just see the swag that's coming.
Man.
He's just on top of the
He's
world.
He's so giddy, man. It was like a little kid. I mean, like your favorite auntie or somebody came when he opened the door for Benzino to show off his house. He was just hyped. I mean, which you respected. You know what I'm saying? It's just the manner that they carry on in the show. You kind of get, like, if I wanted my kids or something to see somebody successful, I would want them to follow behind the action that you see they portray.
From what you're explaining, sounds to me as if he's at a place he never thought he would be.
Yeah.
He's surprised that he's at this place. When you set goals and you accomplish goals, you set more goals.
Yeah.
He arrived. That's what you take it from.
Yeah.
Okay. You good. This is all that you set out to do. Not minimizing what you've done. I'm not minimizing it at all.
Right.
But at the end of the day, like, I'm not going to talk about him specifically. I'm talking about the attitude.
Right.
We brag and boast and get swag, as you call it. Would you do that about something that you expected to do?
You saying brag and boast?
Yes.
From a personal standpoint?
Yes.
No. I've accomplished many things in the last couple of years. I don't even talk about it because I'm steady trying to come for something else.
And you humble?
Yeah.
He's not humble. That's what you're
saying. It didn't come off.
It don't come off. It doesn't come off.
You know, we can't directly say.
Right, it doesn't come off. I mean, you have to take into account that there's a lot of editing and all that.
Right.
But the way he's portrayed, he doesn't really come off of as a very humble person.
My issue with the show, and with these shows, not this one specifically, and I watched a little bit of this.
Right.
And I come to realize I don't have a problem with the people. I never said that I did, but I'm just saying, it's not that I have a problem with the actors. It's not that I have a problem with what they're doing. It's not that I have a problem with the show itself. My whole thing is the portrayal.
Right.
Because anybody who's watching this that has a somewhat closed mind is going to categorize all black people as this.
Yep. And that's exactly what I was saying, that the reference to the White House, and then you see this, it's almost disrespectful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I just want
to... Go ahead, Bo.
You called them actors. Okay, I do feel like a lot of them are putting on an act, but you're disrespecting the craft of actual actors by categorizing them. They're not actors. They're personalities.
Characters.
But then you saying that they're not portraying them, their true selves.
I don't believe they are.
That's where the debate comes from.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Is it a true representation of
reality?
Right. Is this somebody's reality? Is it scripted, basically?
I can't in myself. Okay, yes, I can. Because they are on TV and they are being seen and they are portraying this as reality, and to people watching, it becomes reality.
Yeah. Much as you may not want it to be, or we may not, it goes back to what you said, Bo. You have to strengthen yourself to be able to get that.
Right.
And everybody may not.
Go back to you use Cliff Huxley.
Right.
As much as we said that was unrealistic, why?
Right. You asked me that question.
Why is that unrealistic? Because we see them as realistic.
Right.
That's reality. That's something I can do right now today. I can't do Cliff Huxley.
Right.
And that's why you don't, because you don't believe. In your mind that you can't.
You never set that goal.
Exactly.
I would have to say, just from the three episodes of this season that I watched of Love & Hip Hop, as far as the men are concerned, Young Jock is probably like the realest one.
Yeah.
On
I don't think he's putting on.
I just think that's him.
Yeah.
And you can tell because he tries. He makes that effort not to get pulled into all of the rah-rah.
Rah,
you know?
Yeah.
No, the rah-rah. He is, okay, this conversation going to the left, I'm going to exclude myself from it. I'm going to take myself out of this situation.
I'm going to ask y'all a real logical question. You don't like the
logical.
If a producer approached you right now and said, we will pay you to allow a camera to follow you around in your daily life, public and private, would you agree to that?
I'm going to have to do it the way I want to do it. They're not going to be able to, and this will probably go into later on, we'll be tying to the Family Hustle, T.I. and Tiny. I would have to have the creativeness to make it a positive spin the way I want. Because I do realize these producers are leading these people to do what they want them to do.
Man, I'm talking about a camera in the room when you land in the bed with your wife. Who wants that? For the world to see.
It depends. If what I'm giving off is Cliff Huxtable and Claire Huxtable, I want every black child to sit down in front of the TV and watch that. Because that's reality. You need to set that goal. If I can portray that, I want you to see it. Because who else is going to do it? Just like you said, most people are going to say, I don't want that. Somebody has to take the sacrifice. I'm okay with it because the reason I'm okay with it because I'm convicted in the fact that I believe God will lead me to do it the right way.
Would you do it?
I'm going to be honest with you. If they know how much they're talking, first of all right. And I'm probably gonna be like that. I'm not gonna allow you to make a fool of me on television. I'm not gonna allow myself to make a fool of myself on television. I'm not gonna make a joke out of my family. So with that, they're probably not gonna want me.
Thank you. That's the point I was gonna make.
They're probably not gonna want me on TV.
Real life, day-to-day stuff that goes on in an average person's real life, nobody want to sit and watch that. And they know that. You know that, I know that, you know that. So how would we even sit here and watch this show and even have an idea that this is realistic? You don't live like this for real.
You can't.
I'm sorry. I just can't believe in my mind that there may be some realness to it.
I feel where you're going, and I understand it, but I don't believe anything is impossible for God. And I believe just like we see Family Hustle on TV and a positive aspect, if I put it on TV and it's positive, it will reach somebody.
I'm going to have to say this. The only reason I think they put T.I. and Tiny Family Hustle on TV is because T.I. People are going to watch that show just because T.I. Positive or negative, they're going to watch it simply because T.I. and the network realizes that. So they're going to give him that.
Right.
Don't nobody know no damn Stevie J.
Exactly.
Nobody's going to watch the show simply for Stevie J or Jocelyn or anybody else that's on that Kurt old dumbass movie. Anybody going to watch the show for them. So, I mean, they have to go on there and... I can see the producers setting up certain situations for conflict and for stuff like that.
Because they know they have to make it TV worthy. Yeah.
Okay, and since I brought him up, Kurt.
Go ahead. Go on.
And Rashida.
Yeah.
The more I watch Rashida, I gain more respect for her.
Right.
All right. Your boy Kurt, the more I watch him, the more I lose respect. Okay, going on to what you said about people, you know, following you and, okay.
Yeah.
You going to follow me, all right? And I'm going to let you in on my life. But certain things I'm just not going to do. If I'm going through it with my wife.
You don't want no camera through it.
Listen to this, though.
I'm going through it with my wife, so I go off with my boys or whatever. I'm not going to let cameras see me in hot tub with other women when I'm a married man. And I know my wife going to see this.
And the world.
Not just my wife, but the world. Okay?
So even if I can make up with her, how do you forget that everybody sees
you? Thank you. You got to be smart about some of this thing. There's some of these people on these shows, they're just not smart, okay? Kurt, you're dumb. I'm not going to get in a hot tub with no random women when I'm a married man. I'm not going to swab my baby's mouth and do a DNA test because I question whether or not this child is mine or not. I'm not going to do this on TV.
And he said, as he do, I'm going to do it behind her back.
I'm going to do it behind her back. And your boy Benzino. A lot of people don't like Benzino, but Benzino, believe it or not, has probably the most sense out of some of them. Outside of my boy, Y'all Jock.
Yeah.
He probably got the most sense. And he tries to lead these people. Stevie J and Curry, he tries to lead them. But they just, you can't fix stupid. I'm sorry. you can't, there ain't no pill you can take for stupid. And there ain't no exercises you can do for stupid. If you stupid, you stupid is what stupid does, and stupid does what stupid is. Goddamn, and Kurt, is just stupid. I'm not going to do this stuff on TV, man.
Listen, boy, I ain't even telling you all of it. The dude did a blood test, right? Behind his wife's back on national TV. She still don't know, as far as we know, right? Up until this point in the show. He gets the results that has been Zeno open. First, he give it to the waitress, though.
A random woman.
Bar to open it. Benzino take him like, what you doing? Benzino opens it, tells him he's the boss. They go outside the bar. He says, he takes the paper that says he's the boss, slams it down in the trunk of the car and says, I'm going to throw this right in her face just like this. Benzino said, y'all, what are you doing? No, you not. You won't take this on.
And he did the right thing. He burned it. That was the right thing to do.
You go slam it. Okay.
Yes.
You took it upon yourself.
Take a grasp on his stupidity.
You took it upon yourself to take the DNA test.
Yes.
You get the results back that says you are the father.
Yeah. What she's been telling you.
So now you're going to take the paper home
and prove to her.
And her face.
Prove to her that you're a jackass. That's
well,
what
she said.
That's exactly what you're going to do.
What is her reaction going to be?
What do you expect her reaction to be? Is my thing. What does he expect her reaction to be when she sees this show? You trying to fix your relationship.
Look,
he's not.
Look,
he's doing everything in his power to destroy his marriage.
Dude say, yeah, now not the baby of mine. I want to go home and make another baby.
Oh.
For real?
So you can do all this over again.
For real. I just, and see, she's not, he stays with her, but she's not opening up to him because she's still dealing with the fact of what he did last season. She ain't seen this season.
You know what y'all explaining to me? Y'all taking me back to when I was 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old in the summer. When 12 o'clock, you either got to go outside and play, or you got to take a nap because the story's coming up. What y'all explaining to
me right now is the story. And that's what it plays out like.
Yeah.
It plays out, and you get drawn into it because you want to see what happens next. It's real people lives and real situations because there's no fake that Rashida had a baby.
True.
This is not Victor Newman and Nikki. This is real stuff. And that's the issue. You see what I'm saying? That's the issue because now you relaying this as a reality show. So it becomes the reality that people think this is how all of them do it.
And never mind the outside people. Younger people coming up watching this thinking this is how I should do it.
Like
this
we
is
watch,
how it's supposed
just
to be
like
done.
We watch the Cosby show.
Exactly.
And that's the problem. Boom. What do you think about this? See, I don't know if you've seen this. He didn't like the fact that Kurt, I'm referring to, didn't like the fact that his mother-in-law kissed his baby on the lips. Do you have a problem with that?
I saw that on the thing today. I just saw that.
Yeah, and then you said the fellatio.
It was the reason. Yeah, the reason you gave. Like,
was crazy.
Come on.
Just straight disrespect.
That was disrespect, man. That's that woman's mom, man.
Come on, dude.
For those of you who do not know, he said he did not want his child's grandmother kissing his child on the lips. Simply because what if she just performed fellatio on somebody and then come and kiss our child? You, with his exact words, you mixing old germs with a new baby. That's ignorant.
That's your home. What is that name?
Kurt.
Yeah, that's your home, Kurt.
Chapman.
Kurt got some serious issues, and unfortunately, he's revealing them on national television.
And he's making her, even though she's not a participant, she is a participant.
Right.
Because he's embarrassing her. Yeah. And that's why she, the way she, but she don't want to leave him. And you can tell. That's why he's still out.
That's her husband.
Here's the thing. You say you watch Rashida and you gain more respect for her. A couple shows I watched, she seems like a sensible person.
Yeah, she is. Mm-hmm. From what I see, yeah.
Had he been this way all the time, I don't see how she would have married him.
She said she thought he was going through a middle life crisis,
right.
I think last season. Something just clicked and he went.
Let it off, man.
So he ain't always been this way.
But
that's what
I have noticed he has an issue now all of a sudden with her following as far as men. He said, what was it, Bone? Something like, I see how men react to Rashida. I don't know if she's strong enough to turn down that temptation.
That attention.
So I think his issue has became his wife is the center of attraction, and he thinks he's not worthy enough to gauge her attention no more. So now this is his way. I think all that last season was him trying to show that he could do it too. But she's not doing that. Just because you know it can happen, you should be proud of that. Like, it is, I know out of the three of us, me and Bone married, but our wives understand. Out of the three of us, anybody in here, if we were single, Rashida wouldn't be a bad choice. I mean, it's just simple. And not seeing how she handling her business, you even, like Bone said, you draw more of an attraction to her because she come off as a real woman.
Right. Even with their struggles, they still marry, and she still hold that dear.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Their marriage. Okay, they living together. They stated that they're not sexually active because of things he did. And I think that has a lot to do with it too.
Yeah,
you know, Buddy got some. He got
some.
Buddy got the build up.
I know we can say that
pressure. And you know he trying to work through this, and he don't know how to handle it. And it's just coming. It's he handling it the wrong way.
He come out like a 16-year-old.
A 40-year-old child is how he's coming.
Dude, so I got 5 kids. What made her think I want another kid? No. Ain't nobody give you 5 kids. You got 5 kids on your own, just like you got that 6. What you want me to feel for you? You got 5 kids. What that do?
Like you don't realize how you got me.
Yeah. Like it was her fault or something.
Yeah.
We got to hit on Mimi.
This hit Mimi.
Mimi in the second take.
That no pun intended.
As you can see, these gentlemen are on something else.
That's what I was just saying, though.
Yeah,
but that's
true.
That was a good one,
Bo. You know you're
going
to have to explain that.
Yes. And they might have missed it.
They might have missed it.
Mimi, which is Stevie J's baby mama, is dating a dude named Nico, which is really, if you ask me, he looked like a fake, or not going to say fake, but a copy of Stevie J. And him and her went on vacation, and she recorded a sex tape with him.
Mm-hmm.
He told her his bags were stolen when they came back. Now, he's saying somehow Vivid got possession of the sex tape. So, he tells her, let's go see what we can make on this, because now there's nothing we can do.
Go ahead.
In that, Mimi goes. She has a 4-year-old daughter by Stevie J.
She goes to the meeting with Vivid.
To Vivid. And we were, it doesn't matter how old she is, but she went to the meeting to Vivid with him. Signed for it to be released. Now, two dynamics in this for me. I feel as if ain't nobody stole no bag.
Yeah.
Everybody
seems to know that, but Mimi.
And two, I'm not sure Mimi ain't in on it. I'm gonna throw a dynamic.
I think she's trying to play a little naive too. That I agree with you.
Man, they stole your bag.
Yeah.
But I mean, you ain't. Well, I shouldn't see you wear nothing that you had on.
I'm trying to figure out how she didn't know the bag was stolen.
Right.
Because when he told it to her, it was the first time she heard it.
He said, you know, you remember when we came back and, you know, my bags were stolen. She agreed with that.
Yeah.
But the whole thing was he didn't tell her that
about the tape was gone.
He ain't tell her the tape was in there until all of a sudden Vivid got it.
Well, a picture was leaked to media takeout that it was coming out. Which tells me if it leaked to media takeout that a sex tape coming out. He already had set it up. She was in on it already.
If you wasn't, why'd you go to the meeting?
What? And she was just like, livid.
Back.
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Packing her clothes.
Packing her bag.
It was on the trip to talk to the people.
I just can't believe this.
I can't believe you. What are you doing? She was packing her leaf.
No.
So, and now I'm supposed to go and talk to these people and hide it. Okay, let's go.
Come on, man. This is why I don't watch this.
This is why I don't watch this. You see what we're saying, though?
I do.
Not a sex tape out. They got a 4-year-old daughter. How do you look? How do you explain? Like, me personally, like, when I was watching, I'm thinking, like, I would have done everything I could to fight that. You can fight it. They can't just come out with it. They need you to sign off on.
Like they said.
He said somebody else might get a hold to it and leak it. Well, if they do, then it's out there. That was a mistake. But you didn't give permission.
Right.
Because I can't explain.
I can explain that to my 4-year-old. Or, well, I won't try to explain to them when they're 4. But when they get older, I can explain it. Look, you know, mommy did something private. It was stolen. You know, whatever. And it got out.
Just like her friends told her. Arian and Erica told her, why are you doing sex tapes anyway?
That's the question that I
have. Like, Erica was like, why would you give these no good men anything else and they already ain't worth nothing to have against you? You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, what they was asking, do you really trust them like that? She was like, yeah. Now, she said at that table, she had a tape and he had a tape.
Right.
But then she asked him at the table.
Like, I told you to give me the tape.
So I don't think it was two tapes.
Amen. Yeah. Speaking of no good, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I can
go
over
ahead.
This
go
forever.
Ahead.
Speaking of no good, let's get your girl Erica and what's the dude's name? The model.
O'Shea.
Whatever the hell. Yeah, I guess he's a popular model, male model, or whatever. You caught a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Corey.
When they went bowling.
When they went out bowling with Carter Red and Young Jock.
Young Jock, I'm sorry.
And Young Jock, who, okay, we all know Young Jock is successful.
Yeah.
We know Jock got money. If me and my wife, you Jock, and we out with you and your old lady, and you tell me you got it, as in the tab, and I ain't got shit. I'm sorry. And I don't got nothing. And you tell me you got it, hey, I'm going to have to suck this up as a man. You know, it might affect me in a little bit, but I know I ain't got this.
Yeah.
My homeboy say he got it, so I'm going to let him get this one. You know, next time I'm in a better situation, I get that one. But I'm going to let you have it. This fool says, no, we got it. I got it.
Yeah.
I think with his word.
Yeah, I got it.
No, I got this one.
Yeah, I seen that.
Chuck even said.
You sure?
Oh, yeah.
You
sure? That's just the same homeboy. I know you ain't got nothing.
No, let me get it.
But if you say you got it, I'm going to let you have it. And what they did, they got right up and they left. You know what I'm saying? You got it now.
I'm out of here.
And he turns to Erica.
Hey, babe, can I get
your card? Can I get your card? Whoa. And she just took that.
And she said, and this ain't the first time.
It ain't the first time.
She probably knew that when he said, I got it.
You could tell,
yeah,
guys. She looked at him.
Yeah.
Like, see, again, not reality. Because what real would have done was like, hey, whoa.
Right.
He said he got it.
He said he got it.
What you doing?
Yeah. I got you then. I got you on your on the false portrayal.
Yeah.
Because she know he had.
Came right back and said it. It was almost as if that was staged. That was staged.
My wife, your wife,
yeah.
Anybody you probably deal with. No, I ain't got it. I speak up and say I got it. Hold on, bro. Mine might have enough respect for me to let's step away and remember how that shit for a second.
Yeah.
But the most women are gonna call your ass. Damn, I'm just on the road tonight.
Let's go with it.
Let's go with it. They're going to call you out and be like, fool, we ain't got this.
That's real.
The man said he got it. Let him get it.
And we know he got it.
We know he got it. Everybody at this table.
He know he got it.
He said you show. He said you show. Like, it ain't going to hurt me, pop. Now, in that case, he trying to put a front. He trying to portray something he's not.
And she knowing that she's accepting, which also speaks to what kind of character she's saying.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's not a good look at all. You got it on Waka Flocka. Waka Flocka is a new artist on the show. I know y'all know Waka Flocka. And he has a...
Tammy.
Tammy's his fiance.
Y'all see Tammy?
Tammy and Waka Flocka went backstage after one of his concerts. And she said to him, you know, you go on these tours and stuff, you be out here cheating, and we break up and stuff. And she said in like one of her confessionals, she was like, it's hard sometimes dating a rapper. Instantly, I said in my mind, don't date a rapper, find you a man.
No.
No, listen why I say that. Because there are rappers that are men.
Well, I gotta
see
how you clean
that one.
This is
what I'm saying now. Yeah. There are rappers that are men. You just keep dating rappers. No man.
Right.
And you getting exactly what you're looking for. And in some aspects, and this is the bad part about it, because that gives a total bad look to young girls coming up who chasing behind rappers and think that's where it's at. They get this idea that we're supposed to put up with that.
It's part of the territory.
And it's crazy. I mean, it was just crazy. I'm like, they always talk about dating a rapper. Like, that's something cool to say. If what it tells me is you're not dating a man, you're dating a rapper. You dating something that's a character. You're not dating a man. You don't even want a man. You're missing the whole point. And I'm not trying to shoot her down because she may not even get it. And I may be way off base. I'm okay with that. But this is my opinion, and that's what I'm saying.
That is.
Then they get married. She don't want a, Tammy don't want a big wedding. She feels as if we can go to the courthouse. I just want to be married.
Wait, whoa, back up a minute. This is the same one that said you keep going to and cheating and this mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
And it's hard dating a rapper.
Now you're gonna marry.
A rapper.
Okay.
It ain't no man in it. And you don't want to do a big wedding. You just want to get married. Cause so you can say I'm married to a rapper. That's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You letting the mama plan the wedding so much so that they send out a receipt and the one and the mama say, this is my wedding. And you let. What woman you know gonna let their mother in law, not their mama.
Not the mama.
They mother-in-law plan their wedding and be fine with.
She married the mother.
That's what I'm getting.
Or she marrying the
status. Yeah.
Well, being.
He's coming back. Yeah.
The money. She married the money.
I thought it was crazy. I thought it was crazy. And they just showed a little bit of them on now.
Yeah, they ain't showed up very much.
They ain't much to talk
they
about.
Ain't much to talk about.
I mean, it's cut and dry.
Yeah. Pretty much. Now my boy Scrappy. He got a new old lady now, which is Bambi.
Bambi.
And I don't know, Bambi was on Love and, not Love and Pop. She was on,
Bad Season, right?
Basketball Wise.
Oh, okay.
She was on Basketball Wise in L.A. She was, Malaysia's friend. So she left that show. Last season, she was on Love and Hip Hop. But she was, remember the jacuzzi we were talking about that, Kurt was in?
Oh.
She was at that party.
Ooh, Bambi.
Bambi.
Scrappy old lady.
Scrappy old lady.
Okay.
So now Scrappy with her, she all in love with Scrappy, but Scrappy don't know if he coming or going. He still, it seems like he still got feelings for Erica. Then he keeps saying, when I was in rehab, but every time you see him, he drunk.
Mm, he ain't going to rehab for drinking.
He went to rehab for smoking.
He went to rehab for smoking.
But every time, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of an oxymoron, I guess, to a certain extent.
He swapped one out for the other, basically, what it looked like it did.
Then, check this out. Every time he sit down with a woman, and it's outside of Bambi, it's somebody else he's talking to. It was Erica, and it was his friend. What's her name?
Erica P.
This is his plutonic friend. And his baby mama, Erica. He sits down with them. They point out that you text me 3 o'clock in the morning, such and such, or such and such, right? So he'd be like, oh, I did. Oh, I was drunk. So what's happening is, dude texting them off air, and they blasting them on air. So now it's all coming up.
I'm gonna be honest. I don't know how y'all keep up with all this.
All you gotta do is watch it, man. It's just like the story. If you watch one day of it, and you watch the next day, you better tell
you
me.
You pretty much caught up.
Yeah.
Wow. Well.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say though about Stevie and Jocelyn. The dynamic of their relationship is pretty tight. If they both like loose cannons, but together, you kind of respect it because they respect each other. They're all over the place, but the respect and the understanding they have for each other is kind of cool.
Well, yeah, we're going to wrap this one up.
All right, wrap it up. One thing, I'll say this real quick. I like Love and Hip Hop. I like it. I'm going to watch it. I don't agree with everything they do. I won't let my kids watch it.
No.
But I'll watch it. And I'm going to try to take some positive from it. That's all I can say. That's it. That's all I got.
Okay. I ain't watching it. Y'all don't watch it.
Hey, I agree with Bone. I watch it. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm strong enough to combat it. But it's entertaining. I'm sorry. And with that, I mean, we'll close this thing out. We'll see y'all Friday. We'll have something good for you. Lock your doors, but open your hearts to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One Lord, JWJ. T-O-A-B.
But it's not true. I'm not.